In this module, we're going to learn how you manage the Azure infrastructure with Chef. I'm Damien Caro, technical evangelist at Microsoft.
And I'm Steve Morawski. I'm a community software development engineer at Chef.
So let's talk about Azure and Chef. Let's see how those two technologies get together and how Chef can help managing your Azure infrastructure.
Great. So there's actually a handful of tools that we have available to us in the Chef ecosystem for managing our infrastructure on Azure with Chef. The first off is Knife-Azure. That's a plugin to Knife, which is a general purpose command line tool that gives us the capability to bootstrap nodes on Azure to basically, so to just tell it, hey, go create some machines for me, whether they're Windows, Linux, whatever. I can just go and list out what actual images are available to me, see what I have running. I can create availability groups, VNets with that, and so that kind of just gives me some basic tools to get some infrastructure going, and then the rest of Chef kind of then takes you through the configuration management part of it. The Azure Cookbook that we have out there gives you primitives for managing storage, gives you resources to manage storage and SQL Azure. So you can add those components into your overall infrastructure and manage them with Chef. Chef Provisioning, there's a Azure plugin for that as well. Chef Provisioning's under active development right now, but it basically gives you a way to use a Chef recipe to model your Azure infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's actually where that Microsoft Azure cookbook would plug in very nicely, because I say, oh, define my storage, use this storage, create these services.
And use that VM, and connect that VM to this storage, and things like that.
Right. So basically, it's picking up where Knife kind of leaves off. And so Knife is a great way for kind of one-off things, or you can automate it with something like SMA, create some workflows using Knife. But then Chef Provision gives you a way to do that via Chef. And then kind of a really cool capability of Azure is the ability to inject these different agents and extensions. And so there's a Chef extension that when you provision a machine, you can actually, if you're in the Azure portal, you can tick a little checkbox and say, hey, include Chef. And it gives you the ability to include your validation PEM, which is a certificate, part of a key pair that will authenticate you to a Chef server, as well as your client config file. And that can help get your bootstrap your Azure infrastructure without you having to SSH or WinRM connections to those nodes.
And you can even specify your run list.
You can, yep. And so you can actually get things off to a running start.
Exactly, you can describe exactly what you want up front, like the VM is up and running with everything you need.
Yep, very much so. So you have a lot of great capabilities there, and I highly anticipate that Knife Azure will be including some bootstrapping capabilities for the Chef extension soon as well. Because right now it goes and just does a regular bootstrap over WinRM or SSH.
Yeah.
So, these are bits and pieces from the ecosystem there. What I'd like to do is in our demo, we're going to take a machine that we've got running in Azure, and I've got an environment set up in our hosted Chef environment, and I've got a run list put together. So it's going to go through in Azure with me just running a command. It will go through and set up WordPress for us.
So that sounds like a call for a demo.
I think so. And the first things I'm going to show off, we're going to take a look in the Azure portal. Mm-hmm. Make sure we got the machine that I'm talking about is actually running in Azure. This is not a local substitution on my local machine. Though the way my morning was going, I considered it. So if I haven't timed out here, I've got some virtual machines running in Azure. We're going to actually be targeting. I love this portal. It's actually a very slick looking portal. So we've got this Chef MVA 000, or 00, I'd add an extra zero there. This is the machine that we're going to actually be working with.
Okay.
So we've got some, it's got some endpoints set up so that we can connect to it, but I've actually remoted into it already, so we can we can go there. It's already been registered with my management portal.
Okay.
So we can see here that, let's bring this up. So it last checked in 11 minutes ago. It's existed for 4 hours, so it's not too old yet.
No.
It currently has a run list assigned of this. Of course, it goes and refreshes on me. It currently has a run list assigned, or it's loading that.
It's loading the run list.
It's loading the run list. There's my internal IP. All sorts of fun information here. We also have all these attributes about the system, and one of the interesting things here is that we will see captured, you know, all sorts of things like what programming languages are available on the node, what are the network settings and things, and this is all queryable information that we can leverage, which is pretty awesome given how ephemeral these Azure nodes can be, because we spin these things up, we tear them down. Who knows what IPs are there? Who knows? And we can leverage search against this information so that our other nodes can dynamically be updated as far as, oh, hey, our web server now has this IP. Because guess what? We didn't like the old one. We blew it away and we created a new one.
Or you spin off a new VM and then you have a new IP and you transition to that new VM. And
exactly. So because we can't guarantee, you know, things are going to be what we want, we can actually just do searches on what we know about a node. And the things that get tagged to it, like, for example, we have this PowerShell profile. If I want to find everything that's got a particular PowerShell profile,
you just search that, identify all the nodes, and you can even change the recipes.
Exactly. So we've got all that. I do have some other policies available on this machine, and this is where I talk about. So the policy page on Managed Chef will show us all the cookbooks that are available, their versions. We can actually dig into and take a look at the content that was actually uploaded.
Mm-hmm. But you cannot edit it directly from the portal. This
correct.
This is just a read-only approach.
This is just a read-only view of it. But it lets you kind of dig into what policies are available. We could do the same thing into roles and environments data bags. I do have one role set up. WordPress Windows.
Mm.
And this actually contains a single recipe in the run list, WordPress. I'm leveraging a number of community cookbooks here. And so I went to supermarket. I told
the chef supermarket.
I went to the chef supermarket, yeah. I need a loaf of bread, a stick of butter, and the WordPress recipe, please. So I got the WordPress cookbook, and it references a whole number of other community cookbooks. So I told it, download all these things, shove them all up in my chef server. And so when I tell the chef server install WordPress, or when I tell my nodes to install WordPress, it can go do that. So we can do that through the UI, or we could do it through a command line. Since I'm in the manage page now, I'm going to add that role to my run list.
So basically, roles are based on run lists, on recipes. Sorry.
So roles are a way that we can aggregate run lists and attributes if we need them. So we're going to put WordPress Windows there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to save the run list.
Save it.
I learned my lesson before. You got to save your work. I'm going to refresh the page just to make sure that it had already started to do it. Sometimes I get a little impatient, and then it ends up taking longer. But my run list is coming back. When there's roles in our run list,
because
I can have recipes and roles in the run list, it will let me expand those to see what recipes are there. So if there's a bunch of recipes, I can see that. One of the things we didn't look at when we looked at the policy here, and we looked at our roles, is we can provide attributes.
Mm-hmm.
And it will show me the different levels of attributes. And in this case, I have an override attribute. So I'm going to tell it that the server name should be reported as chef-mva.cloudapp.net, because that's the service name
for the VMs that are running in Azure.
Because if it grabs a machine name and makes that part of the URL,
it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't help me any. So I'm providing an override to one of the values that the cookbook provides. And so this will get passed in as part of the role. So roles can do this kind of thing. Environments can do this kind of thing. And we could create other cookbooks to wrap cookbooks. And, you know, so you have cookbooks wrapping cookbooks.
It can get a bit complex.
Right. So, but one of the things to manage that is to put this stuff into roles and environments where it kind of aggregates where your overrides are and gives you one place to look. So we've got our run list assigned. We saw that we were actually going to override an attribute. And let's actually kick this thing off. And while it runs, because it's going to probably take a little while to run, so I'm now back on my Azure node. If you don't believe me, you can see the host name there. We've got, you know, Azure does this nice thing about putting the that BG info stuff in the background for you. So we got my internal IP, public IP, all that fun stuff. I'm going to clear my screen, so we're starting fresh. And now I'm going to run Chef Client.
I just need to run the Chef Client.
Yep. Now, see, if this was a production infrastructure, I'd have this running in a service. And so every now and again, it would check
pick up at the next time it is supposed to run.
Yep, exactly. But for demo purposes, we don't want to sit around here and wait a half an hour for the thing to run. Yeah. So we're going to do this manually. And while this gets started, we're just showing managing an Azure node. Managing an Azure node's OS is like managing any other node's OS. And this is where Chef actually becomes an enabler for people to be able to move to the cloud. Because once I've got, if I have a custom application that requires some setup, and WordPress in this case requires some setup, I have to install MySQL, I have to install Apache and PHP in this case, or IIS, depending on which variant it's going to take. There's a bunch of things that have to happen to create this site. Well, we build all that kind of orchestration and configuration into a point where I can just say install WordPress, or install X custom app for my environment. And now instead of, you know, oh no, we have to dig out the 99-page document on how to configure this thing before we can go and spin up an Azure node.
Or upload the VM, so you need to shut down the source on premises and then upload the VHD and run it again in the cloud.
So once we've got that policy all defined, and I've been able to model it out locally, I can test it, work all my issues out, and I can load it up in Azure and try it out. Or hey, maybe Azure's faster. I load it up in Azure first and work it out before I deploy it internally. Because maybe I'm deploying on all bare metal internally, and I don't have a ton of test resources. Now I can model that stuff in an environment where it's cheap to spin up new nodes. Mm-hmm. So it just makes let's be default for. All right, so we have a little bug there in the recipe, and it's actually probably in a newer version of a third-party cookbook, which I just pulled down all the latest copies of. So what we can do instead is we can spin up an IIS site. I'm gonna pull out one of my other cookbooks, and we're just gonna use that because I can.
There we go.
So let's grab that. I'm going to go to my Finder documents. Fortunately, I have a few different environments floating around. And I'm going to grab a cookbook out of there.
So that's one of the value of having configuration in text files. You can have multiple available on your machine, carry them around, and
So when something goes wrong, you can easily change things.
Yep.
So that's one of the other great things about having your recipes and cookbooks and stuff as plain text files, because then I can version control them too, right? So if I was actually going to troubleshoot this scenario, I would go to the Git repository for where that cookbook lived and look at the revision history, and I could see where that particular where that default recipe disappeared, and I could find out which version I actually need. So so one of the things that you can do in your cookbooks is in the metadata for the cookbook, you can say I depend on this recipe, I depend on this cookbook and recipe, and you can specify version constraints there. People don't always do that. It's a best practice too, because you want to make sure that it's going to work, but people don't always do it. And so then you always get the latest version, which might or might not be what you want. So we are going to MVA, Azure, Chef Repo, Cookbooks, paste. All right, so now I need to upload this to my cookbook.
You need to do it to do the upload as we've done before.
Let's see, make sure I'm in the right directory. Yep, so knife, cookbook, upload, IIS demo. So what this IIS demo cookbook is going to do is it's going to stand up a couple of environments. And let's just quickly take a look at what the contents of this cookbook are. So I have a recipe. And so this is some stuff we haven't touched before. And what I have here is I have a little PowerShell script that's just going to go and add the web server feature. I'm going to make sure the default website is stopped. And I am going to create some sites based on some metadata that I have available in attributes.
Okay.
So I have this. I have some attributes here, and I'm going to create a clown site and a bear site, and they're going to be hosted on different ports.
Sounds good.
And I'm also in this cookbook. Let's get back to my recipe. So also in this cookbook, I am going to. There's a big snippet of PowerShell code here because there's not a nice clean way to, or a nice quick one-line command to change port bindings in IIS without removing first and then adding. And so this it's a little ugly looking there for this little snippet of PowerShell script. I'm not using the IIS community cookbook, which would make this much more streamlined. This is actually one of the exercises out of our Windows Fundamentals course, where we just use Core Chef resources, where we're not using any community.
And you build your you build your recipes based on the core, and then you build on top of that.
Right, and then we start introducing community cookbooks.
Okay.
So this, and then at the very end, there's this little template, which will create the HTML that we'll see.
The default file.
Yep. So we've got this uploaded. Let's get our run list fixed up. So I'm back in my managed chef engine, or my managed chef page. I'm going to edit my run list. We're going to yank that out. Don't want that anymore. And I do want IIS demo. Drag that over. Save my run list. And let's see, is this going to, yep. And so this refreshed on me. So I now have, and you can see, actually this is version 2 of, or version 0.2.0. We encourage at Chef semantic versioning. There's a whole little spec about how that is to work. But breaking changes happen at the major versions, so that where the zero is, the first zero here, that's where breaking changes. Minor changes would be version the point after that, and very small changes at the point after that. But that helps provide some kind of consistent guidance as far as how you want to constrain your cookbook dependencies. So now we've fixed that, let's start with a fresh screen again and run our Chef client.
Okay, so while we wait for the Chef client to run, we could actually switch to Chef to the Azure portal and see how that integrates and how we can actually
spin up a machine.
Spin up a machine and use that cookbook on the new machine that we've just spinned in Azure.
You betcha. So what we can do with a new machine, we can, in our Azure portal, we can go new machine. And there's command line stuff for all of this.
You can do it in PowerShell, in the cross-platform line interface, command line interface.
Yep. So I'm going to choose an image. We'll go 2012 R2 data center, because I like latest.
Yeah, that's good.
And virtual machine name, let's do Chef MVA 005, because I've spun up a bunch more.
Five, okay.
I've spun up a few other machines today. And I'm just going to create a username.
Give it your favorite password.
Yep.
Make sure it's complex enough.
Yeah, it'll yell at you if it's not. And the sizer, that's all fine with me. I'm going to use my existing cloud service. And it can automatically pick a storage account. That's fine with me. It's going to map a couple endpoints, which is fine with me as well. Now, here's the interesting part. So in this phase of the virtual machine configuration, we have the VM agent, which provides some services to Azure. But then we have the extensions where I can say, I want some Chef. So for the client RB, I'm going to grab a local file. And I have that somewhere on here. Let's see. Documents. There we go. And
you
a validation.
Need a certificate file.
Yep, the validation key is in. Oh, I need a little more view of my screen here. I think it's, there we go. I need to see hidden files and hidden folders.
Yeah.
And my .chef is my validator.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to include that. And for the run list, let's pick IIS demo.
Okay. You can actually put a run list or a role or whatever makes sense for that VM that you're spinning off.
And you can leave it blank if you're going to assign that
afterwards.
So
if you leave it blank, it will just be registered on the Chef Management Console, and it will have nothing applied. Then when you apply the recipe, it will get applied when the service is running.
Correct. So there's other extensions like antivirus that you can apply as well. But for this demo, we just care about Chef.
Mm-hmm.
So then I can hit complete. And Azure's going to go and take care of getting everything stood up and going. Let's check back in on our...
Yep.
All right, so it looks like it's installing IIS.
It's doing some installation.
So it's moving right along. So we'll stay back here in our Azure portal and kind of keep an eye on things here. But the power of this extension really comes in the fact that the traditional model for bootstrapping a node in Chef is I run the knife command, and I tell it knife bootstrap, and I give it some other information, right? I'm going to tell it where to go, some credentials to connect with, blah, blah, blah. And just kind of the miscellany that I would need to make things happen. And then that goes and makes a remote connection to the machine. If it's Windows, it can connect over WinRM or SSH if you have it. One of the challenges there is the WinRM context is not the same as when I'm logged in. As a logged in user, it's a different security context, and it can cause some. It can create some challenges. It's also not the easiest protocol to interoperate with. So if I'm coming from a Mac or a Linux box, getting the right security negotiation to happen is for the WinRM connection can be a little challenging. On the Linux side of things, I have to worry about provisioning certs out to do certificate authentication, and I have to worry about making sure I have sudo rights so I can elevate to install stuff. The beauty of kind of the extension is I can call an API on my cloud provider and say, hey, provision my node, give it the Chef client, give it the connection details. I don't have to be involved. I don't have to be directly connected to that machine at all. And so I don't have to punch holes in for management. That way, I can do my management via Chef. And I can tell, hey, start with this run list. Get yourself basically configured. And
once the machine is provisioned in Azure, mm-hmm. Actually, if you open the properties of the VM, it will show the extension as being installed. So you know when the machine is ready to apply a policy. So you didn't even have to log on whatsoever to know what is the current state of the machine.
And one of the best benefits of tools like Chef is reducing the reasons that we have to log on individually to a server. For demo purposes, we do it a lot because we want to run Chef client interactively and see what happens. But the more reasons that we can have to stay off of our infrastructure, the more productive we can be. Because if I have 1,000 machines to manage, I can't RDP to them all. It's not a scalable solution. So being able to manage them in kind of this standoffish way is very, very, very helpful. Yeah. The other area you'd see it, if it, it'll come through and register in your management console as well.
That's the other thing, yeah. Once it's installed and configured, it is registered in the environment.
All right, so it looks like our recipe's run.
Good.
And so let's fire up a browser here. It looks like my RDP session might have died. Let's close that and we'll restart it. Okay, I think I remember my password.
Let's hope.
Hey, I did.
Hey,
okay,
yeah.
So we're back. We finished running Chef. Let's open a browser. And hopefully IE security has been disabled so that it doesn't prompt me every 3 seconds. But normally I would say on a server,
you
leave it,
launch.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But for
demo purposes.
Yeah, let's, we might be all right because it's just plain HTML.
Just a basic page, yeah.
So if I look at localhost,
I get
We Love Clowns. And if I go to port 81, there's no JavaScript, so it should be fine. I get We Love Bears.
Okay.
So what this is, I was able to take and set up IIS sites, inject some metadata via attributes,
yeah.
and then that would go and configure IIS in the way that we wanted. And that's exactly what's going to happen now with that other node that we've got standing up in Azure. And my session there timed out. So I think it's trying to tell us something that we're probably getting pretty close on time here. But the Azure extension gives us a way outside of the normal procedure for bootstrapping, and I think it's a better solution overall. I'd like to see more cloud providers adopt this, and I'd love to see this come to Windows Azure Pack. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. In case you have the ear of anybody that can help with that, but I think it's a great way to start integrating some Azure nodes into your Chef environment.
So, in this module, we've seen how you actually use the recipes, the cookbook that you have created, apply them to VMs running in Azure. Mm-hmm. We've also seen how Azure provide a connection to the Chef agent that's run within the VMs, either running Windows or Linux. Mm-hmm. And then the agent will download the policies from the Chef server and apply them directly on the machine at startup, at mm-hmm. deployment time. And we've also talked a bit on how you use Knife to actually manage your Azure infrastructure, creating storage accounts and spinning up VMs. So basically the whole portfolio of creating infrastructure, applying policies on VMs, as well as applying policies to existing VMs.
Exactly.
Well, thanks very much, Steve, for the whole demo and all the knowledge around Chef. This is how we manage Azure with Chef. Thanks for your attention. And you have additional resources attached to this MVA course. Don't hesitate to look after them. And read additional resources on chef.io and Microsoft Virtual Academy. Thanks.